It's 7:05 on your Thursday now already, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Thursday.
Yeah, this was a fast-moving week.
It really is after last week. Pinnacle Bank brings you this weather report. They define teamwork as a group of people coming together to go further. Whatever you're planning to take on, they will help you get there. Pinnacle Bank, the way banking should be. Member FDIC.
Overcast skies, 68 degrees, a little bit of a southeast wind this morning. Going to warm up to right around 88 today. Says it's going to be mostly sunny. We'll see, Weather Service.
Darn Weather Service.
A 40% chance for rain after 8 o'clock tonight. We drop down to a low of 64. Not a lot, maybe a tenth of an inch. Could be more if a good thunderstorm does roll through. Friday, slight chance of rain in the morning hours and becoming sunny by late afternoon. High of 84 on Friday. Friday night, 50-50 shot for rain in the overnight hours with lows of 64. Again, right around a tenth of an inch. Nothing real measurable. Saturday morning, slight chance of storms in the morning, otherwise sunny and 90. Sunny 90 on Sunday, too, and a chance of rain again Saturday night. So the forecast is, we'll see. I hope we get a little rain. Be nice.
Yeah, a little bit. We've got some seed in the backyard. So
yes.
Weather brought to you by Pinnacle Bank. They understand that in life, it's nice to have some stability. That's why they'll be here for you today and tomorrow and for whatever lies ahead. Pinnacle Bank, the way banking should be. Member FDIC.
Yeah, it is a Thursday, and every other Thursday, we invite Superintendent Mark Shepherd to stop in and see us. Welcome. Nice to have you here.
Well, good morning. It's great to be back.
Yeah, a lot to lot going on with schools.
We have a lot of things
plenty
going on,
busy.
For sure. Yep.
Let's talk a little bit about this last meeting on Monday. The budget was one of those things that you talked about, right?
It is. Dr. Brad Dahl, our associate superintendent, presented the board with some preliminary budget information. And, you know, kind of on the heels of Mayor Spellerberg's release of what the city's budget's going to look like and what their tax levy is going to look like, it was an opportunity for us to update the board I guess historically speaking, that's typically when we would have had our budget and levy property tax request hearings. And LB 644 was passed this last year, so it created a new process where it has a basic growth of 2% and then allowable growth that's beyond the 2%, and it's based on your real property growth. So what they mean by that and what's in statute is it's really first-time assessed properties. So if there's new construction, if there's a new property coming online, that type of thing, they give you that ability to grow and not have to have a special hearing. So mm-hmm. with the growth that we had certified on August 20th and looking at our resources and looking at our needs, we are going to participate in the joint public special hearing that'll be on September 27th at, I believe, 6 o'clock over at the ESU2 building out on West 23rd Street. And then we'll come back the following night and have our budget and property tax request hearing on the 28th, and we anticipate approval. You know, that whole process was designed for transparency, mm-hmm. and we've been really transparent with everything that we've done for many, many years, and we share everything publicly. We have everything on our website. And so hopefully this new process doesn't confuse the public.
It is. You really have to dig into it to understand exactly how it works, don't you?
Yeah, you're going to get a postcard in the mail, and the postcard's going to have all the taxing entities that are exceeding that allowable growth, and it's going to spell out what last year's levy was, what this year's levy was, last year's property tax request, this year's property tax request. And it doesn't give, in my opinion, maybe the correct information, because when you look at a school district budget and you look at how we're funded, we really have two major sources of funds, and we have property taxes and we have state aid. We get about 7% of our money in a normal year from the federal government, but the rest of it is pretty much generated locally.
Mm-hmm.
The two funds interplay with, or the two sources interplay with each other. State aid is based on a formula that's needs minus resources equals state aid. The needs are the students and the cost to educate them. The resources are what can you generate locally, and property taxes is the lion's share of that. What's left then, the state by statute is comes alongside you and supports. And the difficulty is a lot of times the state has to back into that number because it's based on appropriation. It's based on the available funds at the state level. And so you end up on a little bit of a, I'm going to call it a roller coaster ride. Mm-hmm. Others have called it a yo-yo effect. So we saw this year, August 20th, an increase of about 9.1% in our assessed valuation. At the same time, we're seeing an uptick in our state aid. A year ago, we saw a decrease in our assessed valuation. The past 2 years, we've lowered our property tax levy. This year, we're going to keep it flat. We're going to keep it the same. The voters voted last September on the bond issue, and we committed to the voters at that time that we would maintain a bond fund levy of 19.3 cents. And so that's also included in this budget. But with that said, we've had some student growth, so our needs have gone up, but they haven't gone up 9%. And so next year we'll anticipate a reduction in state aid. And that's just kind of how the process works.
Yeah, it's kind of odd as far as the state aid works. Could you maybe just review, I don't know, maybe the last 3-4 years? I know you haven't received any money, and all of a sudden this year, oh, we're going to get money.
Yeah, we've actually seen a reduction in state aid the last 2 years, a little over $2.5 million. Last year, to balance our budget, we had to dip into our cash reserves. And at the same time, we, you know, there's three different, for school districts across the state of Nebraska, there's three different limitations that come into play. So you have a levy limitation, and that's a maximum levy of $1.05. There's a couple of exemptions to that, but they've even kind of squeezed those down.
Mm-hmm.
We have a budget growth limitation, and you have to stay within that budget growth limitation. And then you have a maximum cash reserve limitation. And for large school districts, I think it's 800 students and more, it's 25% of your overall operating funds. And so when you interplay those three limits together, sometimes they work well, sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
And so we build a budget based on our needs. We build a budget based on the students that we have and the programming that we have. And then we have to spin that budget through the state portal to identify where do we stand on each of those limitations. Mm-hmm. And then we have to make adjustments.
Okay. Maybe talk a little bit about student growth for this year.
You know,
where you stand now anyway?
Yeah, for right now, we're up about 70 students from last year as of yesterday. And that's pretty sizable growth. You go back for the last 10 years, we've grown probably about 600 students total. And that's after probably the previous 10 years growing maybe 100, 150 students.
Okay.
And so we are experiencing real growth. You know, several of the bond projects are designed to tend to that growth. We have the three elementaries that are going to be rebuilt, and that's Washington, Howard, and Claremar. And all of those are going from a three-section building, so three kindergartens, three firsts, three seconds, up through fourth, to a four-section building. So that allows for some growth. Johnson Crossing, when it was designed and built, the core areas, so the media center, the commons area, the lunchroom, and the gymnasium were built to handle more students. The classroom pod areas were built for what was there at the time,
mm-hmm.
with some limited growth. But we'll be putting two additions onto that building to accommodate growth as well. And then as we look at the high school and we look at, you know, the CTE center and what that's going to allow for, it's going to provide some additional opportunity for growth as well. The middle school is really well positioned for growth. That building was built for three grade levels, as you recall. 6th, 7th, and 8th were there when it initially opened in 2001. Right now it has 7th and 8th grade in it. And so it's not quite a third that's available for growth. And some of those spaces right now are being used for other purposes. But that building was really designed for about 1,050 students and has probably around 750 currently. And the Johnson Crossing building with this new addition, when it's done, would be poised for about 1,050 students as well. The other thing about student growth is it never comes exactly where you want it. And it also, you know, it's also not just overall growth of students, but sometimes it's growth within subgroups of students. And so we have a few hotspots in the district right now. We have some larger class sizes than we would like. At the lower level, kindergarten and first grade, in particular at Washington and over at Milliken Park. And so we're looking at some strategies to resolve that. We're also seeing a hot spot at the high school as far as our English language learners or multilingual learners, as they're termed now by the federal government. We're starting to see those numbers increase, and so we have to address some of that programming. And some of that, you know, at this point, it's really difficult to add a teacher, because when you add a teacher at this point of the year, you know, they're hard to find. They're hard to find during the normal hiring season. They're almost impossible to find right now. So we look at some different strategies. And so we're in that process right now. The budget that we just finished talking about, we have three FTEs built into it to accommodate growth. And so we just have to get people in the right places. And some of that will be certified teachers. Some of that may be para support.
Okay. I know you can, well, obviously with the student growth thing, you can kind of forecast where you're going to see those, especially in the smaller, in the kindergarten and first grade classes. You can say, whoa, we're getting quite a big number here at Washington or at Linden, wherever it is. Otherwise, do you see, I guess the remote learning, is that number decreasing?
Yeah, we don't use remote learning at all right now, with very few exceptions. The exceptions would be a student who maybe, for whatever reason, is homebound. And we had that before COVID. A lot of people didn't realize that. But if you had a student who maybe had a surgery or had some other type of situation where they needed to be homebound for a period of time, then they could do some remote learning. And that's the only place we have remote learning. You know, speaking of COVID, knock on wood, so far it's been a non-issue for us this year, and we hope that it remains that way.
Yeah.
I liked your report earlier in the week where the numbers were down overall as a state, I think like 30%. That's great. You know, we've had some cases again this year, but it's been limited, and it hasn't been in any specific cohort where suddenly we need to react to that.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about bond projects here.
So we have a number of bond projects that are in various stages of development and construction. The first one that kicked off, as you're aware, was Milliken Park. To remind everybody, that's a 1970s type design. It was an open space school. There really weren't permanent walls between classrooms. And when you think about safety and security, you think about indoor air quality, that really got heightened during COVID. Mm-hmm. It became apparent that that building needed to have a major overhaul. And so we're in the middle of that right now. So we have the west wing of that building is shut down. It's a construction area. They're going in and they're building walls. They're putting in a few hallways. Hallways take up square footage, so they're minimal.
Oh, yeah.
But a new HVAC system. New lighting, new flooring. When they're done with the west wing of that building, they'll move over to the east wing and they'll do a similar process, and they'll just kind of work their way around the building. The other thing that that building is getting is the ground source geothermal HVAC system. And so the wells are all in. They've now put a basically a room underground. It's a tube that gets buried below the ground. It's accessible through a manway. And it brings all of the piping from the wells into that one location. And then the water flows into the building from there. You know, to refresh everybody's memory on that, the ground source geothermal really leverages the ground temperature. And in Nebraska, we're fortunate. We have an aquifer underneath us. And the constant ground temperature is around 56 degrees. So in the wintertime, you heat the building starting at 56, as opposed to whatever the temperature is outside. And in the summertime, you cool the building starting at 56.
Yeah.
So that's the first project. Lenahan is the second project. We moved our learning center program to our east meeting room in our building at Main Street. We moved our Pathfinder special ed program and our 19 to 21-year-old program over to the former Davenport Elementary.
Okay.
And so they'll be there for 1 year, and that building gets an indoor air quality overhaul. Finishes overhaul, just creates a better space for our students. The well field at the high school is well underway. About, I'd say, a little over halfway done now with the wells. They're slated to be done in early December. And so we're hoping for a little later winter this year. And once those are in place, then they'll be able to start working their way through the building as they transition the building over from a kind of conventional boiler heat pump system to a ground source water heat pump system.
Much better.
Much better. And yeah. The indoor air quality will be vastly improved. Big day today. We have three buildings that are bid today. I think it's at 1 o'clock. It's the three elementaries that'll be replaced. That's Washington Elementary, Howard Elementary, and Claremore. And the first two, Washington and Howard, will be replaced on their site. And then we made the announcement earlier this week that the new site for Claremore's replacement will be in the Deer Point subdivision. Mm-hmm. So to get people's bearings on that, it'll be basically straight south of Sonic. And you'll access it through that road, and it'll be back by the trees.
Nice. Very nice. One more. Let's mention one more thing. I know you have some with Three Rivers. There are some immunization clinics that are coming up.
We met with Three Rivers last week, and we talked about a couple of different opportunities to partner with them. One of their challenges has been with where their facility is located. It's not where the people are located. And so they saw that they were very successful when they did their COVID clinics. Vaccination clinics at some of our schools that people really attended well. And so what they're going to do and what we're working with them on is putting together a calendar that will be very public so people know where and when. We're going to use two sites. We're going to use the middle school and we're going to use Washington Elementary for those sites. And so that people just know if you need a flu vaccine, if mm-hmm. you need, you know, your students getting ready for school need vaccinations. All of the various vaccinations will be available at that time, and it'll be a regular schedule. So look for an announcement soon. They have some grant dollars that they're also using to help fund that, and the grant year starts October 1st. So we're looking at starting that in a couple of weeks. And so Tara, I'm sure, will be putting out information. We'll be putting out information as well. But it's a good opportunity to, you know, another way to serve the community.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Well, thank you. I think that covers pretty much everything.
It does. We have a tennis invite this afternoon at 3 o'clock over at the high school. So get out there and support our Tiger tennis players. And then tonight we travel up to Norfolk.
Yeah, so big game at Norfolk
tonight. I think we got a win on the horizon here. So wish our football team well.
Nice story in the World Herald on Maddie Dalton on volleyball.
Really well. Nice story and well deserved. Maddie's doing a great job. Volleyball team's doing a great job. We've talked about before, cross country, golf, everybody's doing well.
Softball.
And this is a big week for cross country. They split the team this week, and mm-hmm. some go to the Invitational in Lincoln, and others go to an Invitational in Pella, Iowa.
Yeah, so that's a big run.
It's a big run. It's a big course, and it's more regional, kind of like it was several weeks ago in Sioux Falls. Lets them run against different student or different athletes across the region, and kind of gauges where you are. Just run against the same teams all the time.
Yeah, definitely. All right, thank you, Mark Shepherd.
All right, thank you.
We appreciate it. 7:25 here. We'll get to your latest local news brought to you by Deers Ford, a Nebraska family business since 1938, offering quality auto sales, service, parts, and a complete body shop. Go to DearsFord.com on the web right now.